Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Friends, St. Paul can say this with confidence since he lived every moment of every day radically in love with Christ, after his conversion, of course. And therefore, his life definitely magnified the presence of Christ in our world, and we still hold him up as one of the greatest saints ever because of how he magnified the Lord. But what about you? Does your life magnify Christ or diminish him? Every one of us Christians is called to magnify him. And just imagine what our world would be like if we all did. Of course, the reality is that a great many of us are falling short. And as a result, our Lord's presence in the world is being increasingly diminished or downplayed or hidden. He's still there. You know, we can't prevent him from being there, but we can diminish the awareness that he is there. And Christ points to this problem in the parable in today's gospel passage. The landowner, who clearly is, we're meant to think of God the Father here, the landowner is constantly inviting us to become fruitful laborers in his vineyard. He keeps coming out, you know, at the beginning of day, at 9 o'clock, at noon, and so on and so forth. He's calling all of us to be laborers in his vineyard, since, as we heard earlier in Matthew's gospel, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Indeed, the harvest of God's grace, love, and mercy is supernaturally abundant and readily available for all people. But he needs laborers to first accept his gifts and then help other people understand what they're missing out on. Otherwise, the current situation, which is most people being spiritually idle all day, will only grow worse, as it has been for a while now. Remember that the landowner asks the people at 5 o'clock why they've been standing around all day not working. And they respond, because no one has hired us. To translate this into spiritual terms, we might say, because no one has told us about Jesus. Or more precisely, because no one has told us the full truth about Jesus and his church. Just look at all the people right here in our community who are standing around spiritually. We might say they're stuck spiritually. The abused, the addicted, the hopeless, the faithless ones, the bitter ones, the angry ones, the abandoned ones. They're all wounded in one way or another, maybe in multiple ways, and confused and misled about our Lord. Since in our world, for in a large part, truth has become fiction and right has become wrong. In many ways, our world is on its head. And so these wounded ones desperately need to know the full truth about Jesus so they can come into his vineyard and be healed. Note that we have to start at the local level, though, before we can make an impact on broader society. It's really easy for us to point fingers at societal problems. Oh, that's in Washington, D.C., or that's in California, that's wherever it is. But obviously, this isn't getting us very far because we don't have hardly any impact on the societal level. So we must do the hard work locally. Can't just point fingers. We need to do the hard work locally first, where we have the most influence. Then we can begin to help change society. As things change here, we begin to influence society. It doesn't work in reverse, as we noted earlier. It just doesn't work that way. But even when we do get to work in God's vineyard and bring other people in, other problems can arise. For instance, God often gives wonderful gifts to reverts and converts. By revert, I mean people that were Catholic, were living the faith, and they drifted off and then come back. So that's a revert, and then convert comes from a different faith tradition into the Catholic tradition. So God often gives them wonderful gifts that can make faithful, long-time Catholics jealous. This not only happens during the course of daily life. A lot of these reverts and converts, they're very zealous. They're just on fire for the Lord. And we wonder, why don't I have that fire? They may receive wonderful healings. And we might be wondering, well, what about me, Lord? I've been faithful all the way along. But it's not just in the course of daily life. It also happens in end-of-life situations, especially with deathbed conversions or reversions. You know, when somebody comes back to the Lord right before they die, and then they're welcomed into the kingdom. And we might think, well, look at me. I've been toiling along for decades. That's not fair. And so it might leave us asking, you know, is that fair, Lord? Come on, Lord. And he responds, are you envious because I am generous? That's a tough question for us. Today's first reading from Isaiah helps us to further explore this question. As the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. When we find ourselves envious of others in God's vineyard, this is a sign that we ourselves are in need of conversion. In fact, our conversion must take place before we can lead others to conversion. We can't tell others the full truth about Jesus if we don't know Jesus ourselves. Therefore, Isaiah urges us to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Note the urgency that Isaiah is trying to communicate. Take advantage of the opportunities now. Don't press your luck and wait for later, because someday may never come. I'm kind of quoting a Creedence Clearwater Revival song here. But someday may never come. We don't know when our life is going to end. So get it right now. And then, when we do this, then with the same urgency, then you can go out and help the scoundrel forsake his way and the wicked forsake his thoughts, so that they turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God, who is generous and forgiving. Leaving your ego behind, you will rejoice in the gifts the Lord bestows upon these newcomers, even if these gifts seem to be to in excess of what you received. Oftentimes we take for granted the gifts that the Lord gives us in everyday life. This is tough work, though, conversion and bringing other people into the vineyard. So the tough work isn't just swallowing your ego like we just talked about, but perhaps even more so, getting outside your comfort zone to bring others into the vineyard. There's many reasons why other people don't want to come. And so this whole dynamic requires you to get your priorities straight. Remember from last week, your life is not really your own. It is the Lord's. And so your faith must come before all else, including, yes, your politics, which means that your identity should flow from being a Catholic who gives his or her life to Christ, not from being a Democrat, a Republican, a Tea Party, Green Party, but there's a whole bunch of parties out there. Only then can you begin to see as God does and wholeheartedly embrace his will. And only then can you overcome your fears of inviting others into the vineyard with you, helping them to overcome their fears and misunderstandings too. After all, as today's psalmist so beautifully proclaims, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. A lot of people don't think that way of God. He's not an enemy. He's not a competitor with us. He's not a tyrant. He's an essential ally. He's our grounding, our foundation. And he is always near to all who call upon him in truth. In truth. I emphasize that because, as Jesus says elsewhere in the Gospels, those who just say, Lord, Lord, kind of flippantly, they're not following him. They're not part of the flock. That's just lip service. So the ones who call to him in truth with humble and contrite hearts. And the more you call upon him in truth and put faith first, the more you will see properly and then effectively welcome others into the vineyard, since you will see the path forward on the difficult issues of our day. But this can't happen if you don't first accept the fullness of revelation and church teaching. So you'll need to look beyond party line politics, which often leads us to reject certain Christian teachings in favor of political priorities. please don't be slaves to the political parties and accept everything your preferred party says as gospel truth. Instead, accept everything the church has consistently taught down through the ages amidst all the ups and downs of human living. Accept that as gospel truth, because it is. It's true. It's been proven to be true all throughout the ages. And believe it or not, neither Biden nor Trump is a saint. Both men and their parties are very deeply flawed, although some see their favorite, whether it's Biden or Trump, as near flawless. Only Jesus Christ is flawless, my friends. So lean on him for clarity, not on society, not on the loud voices that we hear trying to pound their so-called truths into us, not on what is trendy at the moment. Lean on Christ for clarity. And look to the saints who changed the world by leaning on him against all odds, all throughout the ages. And I want to call to mind two saints that I often invoke because they're very, we can remember them. We remember seeing them on TV and hearing them, venerating their relics. Mother Teresa and John Paul II. They got this balance. They nailed it. Mother Teresa, she knew suffering and poverty and human misery in better than perhaps all of us, certainly most of us, like the very depths. She lived in it every single day. She was exposed to that. And yet she also lived in the very heart of the church. So she had her priorities straight. And to kind of demonstrate, you know, over the past, this is the fifth week now I've been preaching on political items, to see where I'm kind of coming from, it comes from saints like Mother Teresa. Where was her first priority? She knew that abortion was the first priority in the world. It was such a great evil. And she called it out. When she received her Nobel Peace Prize, she shocked everybody by getting up there and talking about abortion. Not about all the people in the depths of the slums of Calcutta and all that suffering. She highlighted abortion first. But as we noted earlier, she's no stranger to suffering. It's not like she ignored the suffering of the people. No, she emptied herself out. But she knew that if we don't get it right at the very basic level, the very basic human dignity, then we can't get it right in other aspects. It corrupts the whole way we look at the human. And so Mother Teresa nailed it. Also, when she came to the United States, she had the prayer breakfast before President Clinton and numerous others. She surprised them by talking about abortion. And she made a comment, I don't know if it was in that prayer breakfast or elsewhere in the U.S., but she said, the poverty in New York City, because of abortion, is far greater than the poverty in Calcutta. That's a big statement. That's a huge statement. Okay, the second example, John Paul II. Now, he knew human suffering through a different lens. He grew up amidst the horrors of Marxism, the Nazis, and then the communists. And so he knew what happens when socialism goes to its Marxist fulfillment. He knew that very well. And so, of course, he called it out because he knew the horrors of what happens when these idealistic systems are implemented, they don't pan out. And so we called that out. And then eventually, once he becomes Pope, I think he took 126 international journeys, many of them to areas of great suffering and great poverty. So he knew that aspect as well. But what does he highlight? He helps us to understand the ethic of life. He talks about the culture of death and darkness. He knows abortion is the number one enemy. But he didn't forget about the poor. He didn't forget about the needy. No, he was very generous. He advocated. He reached out to them in so many ways. So these are two saints that get the balance because they're living in the heart of the church. So that's why I'm presenting them here to you. So in short, look for truth, not for comfort or affirmation. Don't look for the one or two priests or bishops or whatever that support your position and say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to vote Father so-and-so. That's just playing games. Look at the saints. Look at Christ. Look at our tradition all throughout the ages that has shown us the right way to live. That's the truth that we should look for to guide us, not just in an election year, in every season of our life. This is precisely how we make sure that Christ is magnified in our bodies. He wants us to remain in the flesh for now, just like Paul's saying, he wants me to remain now, since it's necessary for our own salvation and the salvation of others to be here in the flesh now. He wants us to die to ourselves and rise to new life in Him each day, so we can leave behind all that hinders us from flourishing in His love, and by flourishing, then attract others into His vineyard. That's the beautiful dynamic of Christian life lived well. But we can very easily seek out worldly comforts and truths, which lead us and others away from flourishing and away from Christ's beautiful, super abundantly fruitful vineyard. I want to just mention here a great help that has come about recently in the Diocese of Helena. We have Matt Brower is he's the director of the Montana Catholic Conference, which works with politicians and whatnot in Helena. And he's creating these great videos. He's got three of them out now. But if you go to the YouTube channel for Montana Catholic Conference, you'll see these. And he's giving us great balanced guidance in terms of what are we supposed to do in the election year, in this very, very highly politicized, polarized environment. Really, really good helps so that we can get this right and not wander off and be manipulated by the ways of the world. And there'll be more. I'm going to get something on the Facebook page and then also on the web page too about these videos. So stay tuned. Okay, friends, the key here is to put Christ first and allow yourself to be challenged and transformed. And this happens, you've heard me say this so many times, especially through frequent confession and celebration of the Eucharist every Sunday, our bread and butter. Then you will help to bring about authentic and lasting transformation in our world according to God's plan, not according to the flawed plans of humans. And then you will magnify the Lord, not diminish Him. You magnify the Lord and not public figures. There's so much confusion and chaos today, no doubt. It's hard to know what's up and what's down. The proper response for us, though, is to seek the Lord while He is near. The Lord who is generous and forgiving. Humbly turn to Him for mercy and make sure that you're in His vineyard. And then you'll be able to see the path forward and help many others to do the same.